Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast, live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
I am a God who is near, says the Lord. I am also a God who is far away. You know, oftentimes in church, we're told about a God who is near, about this supreme power that makes himself available to us and for whatever reason desires to have a relationship with us. I mean, that very thing is talked about here in Verve most days. And I know that nothing in life could be more true. But if I were to be completely transparent with you this morning, I'd have to admit that I've often struggled with this. Because I've often felt that, well, he's not so near to me. I'll give you some examples. When I was a toddler, there was an instance where I was molested by an aunt. And I grew up unaware of the event. All I knew is that there was this tension in my family, especially around the holidays, where we would make sure that she wasn't present when we showed up at any family function. I just didn't understand it, you know, until as a teenager, I was told about what had happened to me. And once I realized that, I was like, man, my God's not a God who's near. There was another time I was in the military. And I was in the military for about 5 years. I was in a special operations unit. And I went in May of 2000. I went to my first duty station in January of 2001. It was Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Kentucky sucks. Sorry if you live there, never did, whatever. So it was 101st Airborne Division, and I married my high school sweetheart in August 5th the following, or that year, and then September 11th happened. I still remember where I was at when I found out about it all. I was driving back to the base after going home to take a shower from working out that morning, and I was listening on the radio, and I heard about this plane that had crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center. And I'm not a big news guy. I just feel like there's enough pain and struggling in the world that I don't want to hear any more of it. And so, like normal, I flipped the channel to something else. And these guys are talking about it too. And about this, you know, horrific accident. I flipped another channel. And sure enough, you're talking about it again. This guy was like, oh, well, maybe this was an intentional act. And I just thought he's a freaking lunatic. And so I switched to another channel. And again, they were talking about it. And I can't remember if I listened to it all the way through the gates going in or if I turned it off, but I do remember getting to my unit and walking into the bar area that we had. We had a bar, which explains probably some of the problems I had in the military. I remember watching it on the big screen TV as me and a few of my friends watched the second plane hit the second tower. It was apparent at that point that this was no accident. Immediately, everything that I thought my life would look like with my new bride, it all changed as we spun up for deployment. I had the honor of serving our great country twice in combat. The first was in Afghanistan early 2002, and then in Iraq, where I was the 10th vehicle to cross the borders from Kuwait. You see, being in the Special Operations Unit, you get a unique perspective of war. And it's a front seat one. It was in war that I witnessed the depravity of man firsthand. I remember going through this particular town, and this old man came up to me, and he fell at my feet. And I can still remember what he was wearing that day. He had these old blue jeans on of about a medium dye, and this dark brown knitted sweater with holes in it. I can still recall the smells that were present, the exhaust of a diesel engine, the garbage that littered the street, the bitter smoke of smoke grenades, burnt gunpowder and spent brass casings. And this guy would look up to me and he had tears in his eyes. He said, if you were only here earlier, my wife and sister would not have been raped at the hands of one of Saddam's sons. And then with the greatest look of abandonment and pain I've ever seen in the face of another human being, he asked why we had left so many years before. He was referring to the Gulf War, and I just didn't have the heart to even try to explain to him. I wasn't even in the military then. I just didn't feel like it's going to do anything to ease his suffering. At that moment, I certainly didn't feel like my God was a God who was near. And then there was November 4th, 2008. When a doctor told my wife and I that we had lost a baby my wife had been carrying for 17 weeks. I remember as we melted into each other's arms, as the reality of what had been told us started sinking in. The hours, the days later that we just spent sobbing, it felt as if our hearts were being ripped out of our chest. It was the greatest pain that we had ever experienced before or since. I certainly didn't feel like my God was a God who was near. The anxiety attacks, the depression that followed in the days and the weeks and months after left me that same tension. My God's not a God who's near. Then we moved out here to Vegas to help start Verve. I can't begin to articulate this stress of feeling this burden to help so many people who are hurting here. It was so heavy at times that I almost couldn't breathe. And then as I broaden my scope and I take in the pain of the world, man, sometimes it does appear as if my God is not a God who is near. And then I read this passage from a book in the first half of the Bible that's titled after its author, Jeremiah. In chapter 23, in verse 23, it says, "I am a God who is near, says the Lord. I am also a God who is far away." To be honest, I've often identified more with the second half of this verse. Where God said, "I am also a God who is far away." You see, Jeremiah was called by God to be a prophet to the nation of Israel. He started in 625 BC and continued until sometime after 587 BC. A prophet is someone who, before Jesus came, God would speak to a person, and this person would in turn speak to other people on behalf of God. And so during this time, the nation of Israel was attacked and taken into slavery by the nation of Babylon, and they were slaves to the Babylonians for some 70 years. And it was during that time of captivity that this part of Jeremiah was written. And it's actually after some time of silence where God didn't give his prophet any new message for his people. And after that time of silence, God said to tell his people, "I am a God who is near, says the Lord. I am also a God who is far away." Maybe this is for you today. I don't know, maybe you've been abused in life. I don't know. Maybe you have this addiction that you just can't seem to kick, and it threatens to destroy you. Maybe you've gone through a nasty divorce. You can't imagine ever fully loving somebody again. Maybe it's loneliness or depression. Maybe you're just struggling to believe in a God who can allow so much pain in the world. A world where starvation is rampant. A world where genocides like Rwanda happened, where 800,000 people were murdered in 100 days. In Rwanda, a form of torture was to cut the breast off of a nursing mother and leave her and her infant alive so that the mother would have to hold her child as it slowly starved. Unable to comfort and to feed her child, inevitably the baby would turn into her, crying, searching for the milk that It always had. And the mother is left helpless. A world where there's the pain of women and children being abducted and sold into sex slavery for deviance. Man, living in a world like this, it's easy to understand how someone could struggle with the very existence of a loving God. Maybe you, as I have in the past, feel more association with the words that God said when he said, "I am also a God who is far away." So, glad you came. Sorry, I know it's heavy, but I mean, honestly, this is something that we all wrestle with, right? And we hear about this loving God. We hear about how much he supposedly loves us, but why is there so much pain in the world? Let's go back to the words of Jeremiah. Chapter 23, verse 23, God said, "I am a God who is near, says the Lord. I am also a God who is far away." But if we continue the next line, "No one can hide where I cannot see him, says the Lord. I fill all of heaven and earth, says the Lord." Someone once said, "A man searching for God is like a fish in the ocean searching for water." You know, during those times where I felt as if my God was a God who was far away, later I could look back and I realized that he was present. And in some of those cases, never more real to me. Like as a toddler or as a kid, I don't remember any of my childhood. Most of my childhood for me plays out like this slideshow of old photographs that my parents would show me of family vacations that we had or Christmases that we spent together. It's always killed me, man, because I know my parents, they've sacrificed so much to give me a better life than they had growing up. And I know that they love me. But I was always unable to recall these memories. But maybe some of those lack of memories was God's way of protecting me. And I've realized my God is a God who is near. Or in war, even. I remember one time in the middle of the chaos, I mean, with men screaming out orders and other men crying out, with explosions and gunfire going off, I remember looking down and seeing this little flower. I mean, the smallest flower you can imagine, really. It was there, oblivious to the turmoil going on around it. It was almost as if God's saying, "I'm here." And then a few days later, we're going on another foot patrol. And I remember this little girl. She has little yellow flower print dress on, dirt smeared face. And I remember her pulling away from the hand of her mother and running out of the doorway of her war tattered home and reaching down and picking a flower, much like the one before, and handing it to a soldier. There was two people in front of me. I can still see her as she's on her tippy toes, arm fully extended, trying to hand it up to this guy. This modern day warrior in full battle array, I remember him taking his hand off his weapon and taking a knee to receive this gift from this little girl. It was worth more than all the currency in the world at that moment. She ran back to her mom, and I think she kind of verbally scolded her as she rushed her inside. But I watched that man as he was nearly overcome with emotion from this expression of love shown by this little girl. And I realized my God's a God who's near. Remember, after we lost our baby, I had some pretty frank discussions with God. I was trying to find a way to turn from him. I would scream out to him, "Why? I mean, why would you let this happen to us? For crying out loud, I've committed to serve you my whole life." I wanted to hate him. Because I knew that he was the only power strong enough to prevent the pain my wife and I were going through. And somehow, in this emotional hurricane that was going on inside of me, he was also the greatest source of comfort for us. And we knew it was him. You see, my God is a God who is near. Remember the anxiety attacks and the depression I spoke of? Well, for me, it got to a point where I needed to get some help. And I went to this counselor. And he tried to coach me to find this still place inside of me. I thought the guy was full of crap. I was like, man, you've lost your freaking mind, dude. But I was desperate, man. I was desperate for some peace in my life, some semblance of order inside of me. And so I gave it a shot, and sure enough, it was there. And it was a place where it seemed as if God was there. I guess he was near to me. And after moving out to Vegas here, in the midst of planning and preparing to launch the church and to go out in the community and help people, we made some great friends. One was this girl who lived here almost her whole life. And her and my wife kicked it off right away. And I remember her telling us after we'd only known her a few weeks that we were the greatest friends that she probably ever had. And she can't imagine her life without us. And it blows me away because, I mean, she's one of the most caring and generous people I've ever met. There's another couple that my wife and I became good friends with, and we were able to grieve alongside them as they lost a child before its time. We wouldn't have been able to understand that pain had we not gone through it before. Another dear friend who got to help experience love for the first time in his life. You see, my God is a God who is near. I know what you may be thinking. That's great, Tommy. So you expect me to magically connect these dots in my life to find God there? No. That's crazy. I want to tell you that it's no great mystery to find God. There's no dots to connect, really. You just have to be looking for him. You see, finding God's presence in your suffering, it really is so easy a caveman can do it. Later, Jeremiah records these words from God in Jeremiah 29:13. It says, "You will search for me, and when you search for me with all of your heart, you will find me." And you may be thinking, well, I mean, how can I be sure? I mean, he's already shown me he's not around, right? The very next verse, and it's not on the screen, it said, I will let you find me, says the Lord. Perhaps our awareness of God has less to do with his proximity to us and more to do with our orientation towards him. I'll say that again. Perhaps our awareness of God has less to do with his proximity to us and more to do with our orientation towards him. You see, the Bible tells us that God is immovable. He's unchangeable. He tells us that he's always present. And if that's true, then it must have to do with our orientation towards him. How close we feel to God must have to do with how aware we allow ourselves to be of his presence in our life. Are we facing him and searching after him? Or do we have our backs turned towards him? Maybe it's somewhere in between, but the reality is that we usually are as close to God as we choose to be. And if you've believed in God for a while now, I'd be willing to bet that if you look back in your life at some of the times where you felt as if God was a God who was far away, I bet now you can start to see how maybe he was present in your life. It wasn't that God was far away, it was that you weren't looking for him. Maybe you just assumed he was absent. Whatever you're going through today, don't you think it's possible that someday you'll look back and realize God was there. Just like I have. I understand it may seem improbable, but my life, for me anyway, is proof. And if that's possible, that one day you'll look back and see God was there, wouldn't it make more sense to realize it today? To take the time and evaluate where you're at and see where God is? Because then you could experience His presence, His peace now. God tells us that if you search for Him with all of your heart, you'll find Him. And that's my prayer for all of us today, because let's face it, life's full of struggles. But God is always present if you'll look for Him. The band's going to come up, and they're going to close us out with some music. And like always, we just want to give you some time to sit back and to just think through what we've talked about. I know it's been kind of heavy, and I apologize for that. And if you're here for maybe the first time and you're like, man, I don't even believe in God, I'm glad you came. I'd say maybe then you could just say, if you're real, make yourself known to me. I mean, as we've seen this morning, He promises that He will. And maybe you've been following God for a little while now, and you're going through some pretty tough times. And you think, well, man, my God's not around. I promise you He is. You just got to look for Him. During this time, we're also going to make communion available and set the candlelit tables. Communion is a great picture of how present God wants to be in our lives. It's something that we do to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us. The bread represents His blood, and as gross as it sounds, the juice represents His blood that was shed for us. And it's a beautiful picture of, and God didn't want to be a God who was far away. God wanted to be a God who was near. So if you want to, and you feel comfortable, if you want to take that back to your seat and partake, then you guys are welcome to. Let me pray. I'm going to close. God, thanks so much for being an awesome God. Thanks so much that you're not a God who is far away, but you're a God who's near. Even in times where it feels as if you're not. God, thanks that you love us in spite of where we're at or who we are. Thanks that you want to be close to us. And my prayer, God, is that everyone here would take inventory of their life and find you there. God, just make yourself known to us. We love you, God, and thanks for being a great God.